Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yeah. What's up? What is good, everybody? This is a special episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show here with the host, James Bell, the leader of the Boxing Source on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at the Boxing Source. You can also follow the page on Facebook, the Boxing Source. We also are on Twitter at Boxing Source 2, and we have the YouTube channel number to dial in. It's 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. And right now, should be on the line with us is a young man from the Baltimore area, coming in with a record of 18 wins, no losses, and 11 of those wins by knockout, campaigning in the super lightweight division. This is Mr. Malik Iceman Hawkins. What's going on?
What's going on, big dog?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Just checking in with you to get what's going on. I know that you have a pretty much big announcement coming up here, so I wanted you to get right to it here first.
Well, I fight October 10th, you know, in Connecticut. I'm not really sure where at in Connecticut, but I'm co-feature on a Showtime card. I fight against Sabril. I don't really know his last name, but it's a real big fight though.
Yes, it is. So I'll add in the specifics there. So you have Mr. Malik Hawkins. He will be fighting on October 10th at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut, against Sabril Matias, and it's going to be a very important fight there for Malik Hawkins to get himself up in the ranks in the super lightweight division right there. I know that you had a fight over in the Atlanta area in December 28th. That was a big weekend for you in the city of Baltimore. So going to that last fight there real quick.
Say it again. You said going to it?
Yeah, going to the details of your last fight there. That was in Atlanta.
Oh, that fight, it was tremendous. You know, it was real good for the city of Baltimore. You know, everybody went down there. You know, all of us, we went down there and did our thing. But as far as, me personally, I felt as though I was anxious, in that fight. You know, I didn't really perform how I wanted to, but I still went in there and got the job done at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that was back and forth fight there with Darwin Price. You were there, being fairly aggressive and things like that, and you were able to catch him there a few times within those rounds, but also had maybe a couple of slip ups there a little bit, but still was able to get the stoppage victory there, and that puts you up in the ranks in the super lightweight division, where, like we said, you're going up against Sabril Matias over in Uncasville, Connecticut in October. But going to, that whole experience there, because, you had how many buses? It was like five buses, I think I was told, like five buses from Baltimore coming down, for that event. So you were there representing the city of Baltimore.
Yeah, that was just, that was tremendous. I just wanted to get in there, put on a wonderful performance and everything. And I kind of let, the anxiety, get the best of me for real. But I still found a way to overcome it, and go in there and do my thing.
Yep, true that. Now, seeing here as you're, I would say, like a rarity in the super lightweight division currently with the height of 6 feet and 140 pounds. So it's kind of like, you know, have a tall person to deal with there at the 140-pound division. So you have those, you know, length and reach advantages against your opponent.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep, true. So seeing as you're, you know, from the Baltimore area and you work around the camps there with Tank Davis, and you also have Coach Calvin there with you, correct?
Yeah.
So how is it working with Coach Calvin?
I mean, it's great. You know, Calvin, he get on my nerves sometimes, but I know it's all love, though. I definitely know it's all love, though.
Is there, like, anything that he does specifically that kind of, like, aggravates you?
Yeah, he don't know how to pronounce his words sometimes.
Oh, man. So it's like you got to, like, you know, get through that a couple of times. Like, you would have to repeat it or something. But, yeah, he still, you know, is able to, you know, get the point across and things like that for you to be successful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I still got remember he getting old, so.
Right. True. Now, I'm gonna take it back to, you know, November 2014, where you had your pro debut, and of all places, it was in your hometown, in Baltimore. You had that pro debut there. Against Terrell Coles, like, how was it, like, in your first pro fight? Like, did you have any nerves going into the fight, or were you, like, confident going in there?
Nah, it was kind of both. Yeah, it was kind of both, because, you know, my coaches, you know, they prepped me for it and everything. You know, they were talking to us the whole time. Like, my head coach, Kenny Ellis, he was telling me young. He's like, you got 1,000 days and everything like that till you turn professional and everything like that. We count down the days to your debut. And he was telling me this that I think I was about 15 at the time. So, you know, I was they already had, you know, had prepped me and everything. So I was ready.
Yeah, I feel you. So you were able to, you know, get that first round KO victory, first round stoppage, and you know, you had that, you know, string of first round victories, you know, up until, you know, I would say the your fifth pro fight. But kind of like go through, you know, the string of victories that you've had, you know, over the course of the past you know, few years, you know. Like, how does that, you know, feel when it, like, builds your confidence up, you know, saying that, okay, you know, that I got it. Like, I got, you know, the skills, but there's still a little bit more that I got to work on.
Yeah, because I realized, you know, I had to learn that everybody, you can't knock everybody out. Some people just not going to go. Some people just going to stand there and, you know, they're going to take you the distance. So I had to learn that. And by me learning that, it taught me how to, you know, to really use the tools that I needed, the tools that I have in my arsenal.
Right, and, you know, you'll be able to, you know, expand on those tools and be able to, you know, do things in certain situations. Right. You know,
definitely.
To be more successful.
Definitely.
You know, kind of like going back a little bit more, like, what got you into the sport of boxing? Like, what was your beginnings?
Getting bullied and everything, you know, growing up in a rough neighborhood, and you know, just me wanting to learn how to defend myself and things like that.
Yeah, I feel you, man. So, like, you've been there in the Baltimore area all your life, correct?
Yeah, born and raised.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Like, yeah, DMV and, you know, Baltimore, DC area, and I'm like, you know, over here in the Alexandria side or whatnot. So based in Alexandria side. So yeah, I know all the stuff that goes down around in this area, man. You know. So like real quick, like, what would you say that you kind of like look up to in the boxing game, like once you started out or once you develop your skills?
I mean, I watched a lot because, you know, growing up, I watched a lot of old fighters. So I always looked up to, you know, Tommy Hearns, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, people of that nature, for real. You know, Marvin Hagler, people like that.
Yeah, those guys were like, you know, among the greats, you know, among the all-time greats. And, kind of like looking at those fights and those fighters can, like, develop a lot of people there in the boxing game, you know. So that's kind of a, you know, good base to, you know, kind of, I would say, look up to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now I see that you kind of was floating around in the 154 and 147-pound divisions before being here at super lightweight. So do you see, like, kind of going back up to around that range later in your career?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely see myself going back up, but I see myself going back up when I get, you know, probably closer to when I hit 30 or something like that. Because the reason that I moved down to 140 is because I never weighed in at 147. I always was closer to 140. I always I always weighed in about 143 or 44 or something like that. I never weighed 47. Me and my team, we got together and we made the decision, you know, let's go down to 140.
Yeah, so how has it been, like, you know, like getting down to that weight, since, you know, you kind of like floated around that range anyway, so you're kind of like used to getting down to 140, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Because them last little bit of pounds, I'm not going to sit right here, you know, and tell you that they don't matter, because they do matter. You know, especially like if you know, when you cutting weight and you tired, you don't really feel like doing anything. But I'm used to it.
Yeah, I feel you. Now, going into this fight here, October 10th, over at the Mohegan Sun Casino against Subir Matias, like, what do you think you would kind of like look out for in, you know, someone like that? Or have you, you know, kind of like started out as far as like studying your opponent?
I know he's going to try. I know he likes to come forward a lot, just like me, but, you know, I like to go forward. So basically I look at it as if, you know, it could be will against will, or his will against, you know, my smartness, for real.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it sometimes is like a, you know, degree of toughness there in the ring. And, you know, we kind of like see that in you. Like you kind of like have that come forward style, like, hey, I'm gonna walk you down, in most cases. But, you know, in other times you might want to, you know, sit back and kind of like watch what your opponent does, and then, you know, come up with a perfect counter to what they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, with, you know, Sabriel Matias, you know, he is a fairly tough fighter there, coming out of Puerto Rico. But I'm seeing that you'll definitely be preparing for that. When do you kind of like start going into camp for that?
Actually, I started camp about 3 days ago, because I already had been training, but camp officially started 3 days ago.
True that. So what's mainly the gym that you kind of like be around usually for like preparing for fights?
One of the gyms, you know, that I go to is my teammate Damon Nicholson. I go to his gym, and then we have another gym that we go to in Frederick, Maryland. It's called Turner's Boxing Gym.
Yeah, Frederick, man. Oh, geez, that's a good. I know it's a good drive for you, but man, like going through the traffic around this area, that's kind of a little bit of a ways to, you know, get around to that particular spot. You know what I mean? But like, you know, how is it like preparing in those type of gyms? Is it, you know, like you know, super hot and super grimy like some gyms are, or is it like a, you know, little bit more of a controlled environment?
Yeah, it's kind of both. It depends like which gym we go to. Like some, if I go to the Mon gym, I know it's gonna be grimy and everything like that. But the work ethic is the same. You know, we work hard in that. And if I go to China's boxing gym, you know, it's more controlled. But the work, like I said, the work ethic don't change.
Yeah, see you there. Now, kind of like a little bit of off topic here a little bit. Usually I ask my guests this question to see, kind of like where they're at. I bring up like books and things like that. Like, what would you say is a favorite book that you read or that you have read?
Be honest, I ain't even gonna lie. I haven't even been reading any books lately. I wouldn't even sit right here and try to lie and think of one.
Hey, at least you're up front with that. Yo, sometimes I like to throw off my guests with that, so to speak there. But going back to your pro boxing career, TNS is there at 140 pounds. And like I said, you're pretty much like at the brink there at the 140-pound division now. I mean, I know that they have two unified champions there at 140. But like you were saying, you have like a little bit of time there at 140 before you move up. So, do you have like any type of other plans as far as like what route you may go there at the 140-pound division?
You know, I'm just looking, just to take my time, go through partake in the fights that I need, take the right fights and everything. And, as soon as we be world champion, next thing you know, we be unified world champion.
Yep, I feel you there. Now, going back to, you being there in the, in the Baltimore area, like I tell you, you have Javante Tank Davis there. I mean, you have you there, and a few others. So, like, what does it mean to like be part of that boxing family there in Baltimore?
I mean, it means a lot because we the beacons for the city for real. We the people that that the kids look up to and everything like that. We all we got.
That's about as, direct as it could be, It's all y'all got, out there out in Baltimore area sometimes. And so it's like you said, you pretty much have, people that look up to you for you doing what you're doing. It's kind of like something to represent the city of Baltimore, each time that you're stepping in there in the ring to fight and things like that.
Yeah.
So, like, having that kind of like that being on your shoulders, it may be a little bit of a pressure for you, but you still are able to, get in there and do your thing in the ring.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I would say, over your pro career, would you be able to recall what you would say was your toughest fight?
I want to say when I fought against Raymond Serrano. Yeah, when I fought against Raymond Serrano.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago over in Philly. NABA title at welterweight. So yeah, I guess he had like a little bit of experience for you to kind of like make adjustments over the course of those 10 rounds.
Yeah. And that was my first, like you said, that was my first time going 10 rounds and everything. Like, and I got cut in that fight too, so I had to overcome that. But I dealt with it, sucked it up, and came out victorious.
Yes, true that. Yep. Now, seeing as you have, fought in a good amount of places here over the course of your career, what would you say is the spot where you would say, like, man, like, can't believe I'm fighting in this city or something like that?
Uh, So basically, like, the question you asked is, like, which place would I fight out?
No, I'm saying, like, over the course of your pro career, you fought at different cities, but which city would you say was one that you kind of, like, looked forward to going to?
Oh, when I first had my first pro fight in, in Vegas. Man, when I fought as a professional in Vegas, man, I'm not even gonna lie, I was so happy. I was so happy because I fought there before as an amateur when I came out there for the Golden Gloves. But when I fought there as a professional, yeah, it was a whole different type of vibe.
Oh, I feel you, man. I feel you because it's a lot different when you're there as an amateur than when you're able to, you know, kind of like do your own thing, so to speak. Over in Vegas as a pro. So, you know, once you kind of like get in that area, get around the strip, downtown Las Vegas, and you see all that they have to offer, man, it's a whole different experience there, man. But kind of like going back into your amateur career, you said that you did compete in the Golden Gloves. So, like, how long were you there as an amateur?
I think my record was like one. I had over 100 wins. I know that. I don't remember my amateur record, but yeah, I was a two-time national champion. I was a junior Olympic bronze medalist. Man, I've probably fought in every tournament.
Yeah, everything that's out there,
I think the only tournament I didn't fight in was the USA's. That's the only thing I didn't fight in.
Ah, gotcha. Like, but you know, after you were done with that, then you like you said, you started your pro career, and it's been going crazy ever since. But kind of like, going into the scene there with your career, like you said, you had like a few fights in Baltimore, and I think like you had one fight in Austin Hill at the National Harbor, that's pretty much a new casino building type of thing there against Carlos Soto. So kind of like, if you can recall, go into that fight a little bit, like how you were able to kind of like stop him in two rounds.
Actually, the punches that I was hitting, because I think it was the uppercut and the right hand, we was just back there working on that combination, like prior to that fight, like literally in the dressing room, we was like, we want you to throw this exact combination, the uppercut and throw the right hand right behind it. And the first round, his eyes swelled up, like it was closed. But when he came out the second round, it was back to normal, and I was a little nervous. I got a little scared. I got a little scared because I thought they did something to him. Like, I'm like, would they switch my fight out or something like that?
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm so serious. I definitely got a little scared.
Oh man. But yeah, you were still able to, get him out of there, pretty quickly, and that is like part of your 11 knockouts that you have there. So I mean, you're kind of like working like I said, on those type of combos, like the uppercut and right hand. Like you set him up with the uppercut and then finish off with the right hand there.
Yeah.
So you're able to like kind of do that, in most of these fights. And like I said, in that the last fight you had against Darwin Price, you were there in a good little good little fight, but you were able to tough it out and then get the eventual stoppage victory there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? So let me see if I could add someone in here on the line. So I'm going to see if they could check in from the 646 area code. I think this is the president of the Deontay Wilder fan club. Am I not mistaken?
Oh, what?
Y'all was good there.
Oh man.
We live with the Ice Man?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Wow. What's going on, man? Yo, listen. I saw you on the Showtime schedule rollout. I was very excited. You probably already know this because you were boxing, but you're facing a heavy hitter. Gabriel Matias ain't no joke, man.
Yeah, well, I ain't no joke either.
Oh, I know that. I've been following. You know what you've been doing. I saw your last fight against Darwin Price. Two undefeated young guys doing their thing. You came out on top. You know. What are you looking towards in the future? I know you're close to a title shot. Do you have anybody specifically that you're targeting?
Anybody that stepped in front of me. That's all I'm saying. Anybody that stepped in front of me, you know, they got to deal with me. And, you know, but right now, you know, we just taking our time, you know, taking the right fight. And, you know, next thing you know, we be world champion.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. But how have you been preparing for this fight with Matias during, you know, the whole pandemic?
Man, we've been going. I still ain't nothing changed. The only thing that's changed, we just wearing a mask.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's changed. We just wearing a mask. And, you know, my coach is wearing rubber gloves and everything, but ain't nothing really changed. I'm still going through hell in training camp.
Wow. That's all I got for right now, JR. I apologize for calling in so late. You know, I was just listening in. You guys, you know, these young guys, man, they fighting everybody right now. This is good to see, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they ready for all the smoke right there. And I know that Iceman is definitely ready for all that smoke at 140 pounds, man.
No cap, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I feel you on that. I feel you on that.
Young guys were protecting their O, but you see, that's not happening no more, man. These young guys, they want all the smoke.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I mean, my thing is, like, yo, he's trying to, you know, he's out there to fight the best of the best. So y'all got him up there, man. Line him up, and he'll take him on.
I mean, they got to see me eventually.
Yeah, one way or another, they got to be able to step into the ring and fight the Iceman, man. They'll, you know, basically they'll get, and careful they'll get iced out, for sure. I know that you did say that you kind of like had plans on moving up to 147 within the next 5 or 6 years or so. Kind of go into, you know, that a little bit. Because like I said at the, you know, beginning, man, you're there at 6 feet. 6 feet there with, you know, 73-inch wingspan, man. I mean, dang, you almost, you about taller than me or something like that, man. So, like, kind of like going to, you know, how that could be in the welterweight division, because usually the welterweight division is the, you know, the glamour division of boxing.
Yeah. I said I would move up, you know, when I get close to 30, because I don't want to keep putting that stress on my body, you know, if it can't take it. So I'm not going to keep trying to make 140, you know, as I get older, you know, if my body can't take it.
Yeah, I feel you. Now, seeing that, I think you have another caller calling in from the 267 area code. You're on the Boxing Source with Mr. Malik Iceman Hawkins. What's going on?
What's going on, so champ? Talk to me. I talk
about. What's good, man? It's the Iceman?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. All right, my first question, and I know y'all was probably touching on it, but how do you make 140, bro? You're the biggest 140 I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, you just gotta eat right, man. You gotta know how to take care of your body. And don't cheat. And don't bullshit when you're in training camp, man.
All right.
Yeah, man.
What's the? Right, you just signed with TNT, right?
Yeah, so, I signed with them. I signed with them last year. Yeah.
What was the whole process of you picking or promoting? Like, okay, this is the guy I want to go with.
I mean, actually, they just you know, my manager, you know, he handled everything. So we just so when you know, when everything fall through, when everything came through and everything, you know, we just said, yeah, we need to put, you know, we want to put, he said he wanted to put me in position. So I'm like, all right, well, let's do it. Let's make it happen. So that's what we doing. That's what they doing.
Okay. You got a date for the fight next?
Yeah, October 10th.
October 10th? You got the opponent or 10th. You still don't know?
Yeah. What's his name again? Sabriel
Subrio Matthias, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Watch the Showtime roll out? Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Come on, man.
I didn't see the full card. Yo, don't listen to the New York dude. You can't listen. No, I didn't see the whole card. Yo, that's a good fight, man.
That's what I was saying. I was surprised. Not because we think either one of them, you know, afraid to fight each other, but this is such a good fight so early, you know, in the Iceman's career. It's like, yo, he's trying to get right to it.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I'm trying to be great.
There you go. That's it. That's it right there. Hey, you can't be great fighting guys.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, that's a good move there. You were talking about the thing with you know, your manager. Is that Everett McNeely?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, how's it working with Everett?
Man, that's my guy, man. I look at Everett like family, for real. I talk to him every day, call him, check up on him, make sure I'm doing, I'm okay. Yeah, man. That's like family.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I feel you. He got you all straight and everything like that. Like Brother Jamil was saying, you know, put you in the position to, you know, kind of sign there with TNT, and you know, we're gonna see how that's gonna blow up there for you.
Yeah.
You from the DC Baltimore area?
Yeah, I'm from Baltimore.
Are you from Baltimore? You ever do any like training with like the Russells or anything like that?
Nah, I ain't never trained with Gary Russell, no. Nah.
Oh, so who'd you come up with?
You said what?
Who'd you come up with?
I came up with Javante Davis.
Oh, you got something coming up too. What were your thoughts on his whole thing with Ivan Rexach, the whole
Oh, man.
Hey, I gotta ask, man.
Look, I'm behind. I'm gonna tell you just like I told everybody else to ask you that question, like what I think about it. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Ain't got nothing to do with me.
Hey, yo, he's putting them paws on Red Cash, yo.
Yes, he was. I'm not. Yeah,
he's putting them paws on Red Cash. Hey, you was just in camp with Bud, right?
You said what?
You was just in camp with Bud, right?
Yeah. Definitely was.
How was that experience?
Oh, that was a hell of an experience. Yeah, that was a hell of an experience. You know, he taught me a bunch of little tricks that I could use in the ring. And he's smart as hell, funny as hell too. But yeah, I like that experience. Just being down there with him and other world champions. I went down there with Jamel Hearn, Maurice Hooker, Robert Bryant. It was a lot of you know, world class fighters down there.
Oh, so you were over in B&B with all them folks, man.
Yeah, man. It was a hell of an experience.
Did you spar everybody that was there? All the people that you named?
The ones that I sparred. I sparred Terrence Crawford, and I sparred Maurice Hooker.
Now you're a top prospect. Is there a big difference, like a big gap in between the fighters that you're facing now and the top level sparring that you've gotten?
Yeah, it's a big difference. But you got to realize, I come up under, you know, I've been in camp, you know, once again, I've been in camp with, you know, with Terrence Crawford. I've been in camp with Devontae Davis. Actually, me and Tank came up together. Like, when I say came up together, I'm talking about, like, outside of boxing and everything. Like, we grew up together. Like, so, by us being together, you know, we animals. You know, we animals in that thing. So, and by us, you know, animals. So when iron sharpens irons and everything like that, the difference is crazy, and I'm planning on showing it.
Okay. Yo, you from the West Side?
For me, yeah, West Baltimore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yo, what's it like training under the real Cuddy, yo? I always want that.
Oh, Calvin. Calvin, that's my guy, man. That's my guy. I like Calvin, man. I love Calvin. God, would just get on my nerves sometimes.
You've spoken like a true fighter.
everybody coach. I'm pretty sure they coach gonna get on their nerves sometimes, but you know, it's love. You know, especially because I've been with Calvin since, you know, my whole career. You know, since I was a baby, and everything. So they gonna start getting on your nerves. But you know, like they got, you know, they gotta, you know, give you that father type energy, because they want the best for you.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Calvin ever told you to penitentiary somebody, like he told?
Calvin originally used that for me. I was spawned up in Philly. Yeah, we spawned in Philly, and I kept doing something. The dude was grabbing me, and I kept hitting him in his side. But it looked like, if you look at it, it looked like I was stabbing him.
Yo, you know the funny thing is, I missed that sparring session, bro. I had to work. I was supposed to come to that.
Yeah, Calvin. So by looking like that, Calvin said, keep putting that knife in him.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest things I've seen on television in a long time. I was like, wait, did I hear that correct? Did you say penitentiary? I was like, wait, what?
Giving him the shank treatment.
Yeah, but your last fight you fought at that huge event in Atlanta. What was the atmosphere like during that event? Because it looked great on TV.
Man, it was crazy. Everybody stepped out for that. Like it was crazy. Like, we talking about, I seen Shaq in there. I seen everybody in there. I seen T.I. in there. Man, there was so many stars in there. Like, you'd have thought I was looking up in the sky at nighttime. So many stars up in there.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You had them in there. You had, legend Evander Holyfield there. You had It was a good amount of stars out there, you know, plus other, you know, boxers that's in the circle. So it was a crazy scene there in Atlanta. And like I was saying, earlier, like they had, the buses, all set up, man. They sold out like five buses to come down from the Baltimore area and D.C. as well. So it was you had like all that support coming through.
And it was, you know, we all of us appreciated it, man. Like, we appreciate it. Because, you know, we work so hard. You know, that's we just wanted our city just know that we, you know, we working hard. And for them to show out like that and come down there as deep as they did, that was wonderful.
Yeah, true that, true that. Might have to either deal with the organizer or, like, see if the organizer for that trip and the manager could try to do something like a watch party or something. If you still have those things going down. So you have a watch party, you know, for your fight on October 10th, man. Get something going over in the Baltimore area for us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got any other sports that you watch besides boxing?
Oh, I'm gonna watch basketball all day.
Also, so you've been watching the restart. Who you got taking it this year?
I ain't gonna lie, I like the Lakers this year.
Oh wow!
I like the Lakers. The Lakers or the Bucks.
Okay, so the two. Okay. You ever play ball growing up?
Yeah.
Cause you kind of tall, you know, and you got long range. You could be like a point guard in the NBA, probably.
I'm gonna have to look at my handle for that. But I definitely got a jump shot. Don't call me Ice Perry for real.
Hey, yo, is that where you got your nickname from? George Gervin?
What? Nah. I got my name from this the old rapper named Paul Wall that was known for his fronts. They said I used to look like
him.
Oh. Oh, Paul.
Hey, yo, one thing I like about y'all dudes down in Baltimore, like, I've been to a lot of media workouts. They had them at, like, really nice places. Like, you know, they got, like, real swanky. I went to y'all media workout for a tank fight with Hugo Ruiz, and y'all had it in the hood, man. And up in,
yeah.
I like that, yo. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, you got to keep it, you know, you got to keep it real. You know, that's where we started at.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Always got to take it back to where you was at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no cap.
True. Seeing I got another 443 on here. You're live with Mr. Malik Iceman Hawkins. 443, what's good? Yo, 443, you on with us?
Yeah.
Yo.
I seen that or it's 512 or something like that.
Yeah.
On with us, but. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yep. So I was gonna,
hey, what's up?
Yo, what's up?
Who calling in here?
This is Aaron.
What's going on, Aaron?
Oh, Aaron, what's up, man? What's my man?
I just seen the post for real, so yeah.
Hey, man, what's up, man?
Yeah, just got
something
running for real.
And like you're over in Baltimore too, there, man, right?
Yeah, when the next fight is?
It's October 10th in Connecticut.
Oh man, yeah, I'm trying to turn into that.
Yeah, man, he gonna be on that Showtime there against Supriya Matias on October 10th, Mohegan Sun Casino. Yeah, like I said, it'll be prime time on Showtime, man. And like I was saying, I think we about to organize some type of watch party for Iceman when he goes in the ring there against Supriya Matias. So over the next few weeks or so, I might, you know, make some phone calls to do something either in Baltimore area or something like that, so that, you know, all his folks can, you know, go ahead and watch the fight.
That's gonna be dope.
Yep. No doubt.
Are you gonna be the co-feature on that Lippengett Cujutillo card?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big step, man. You ready for that kind of shot?
I told you before, I was built for this. I was built for this. I've been bred to do this, man.
Yeah, this is gonna be good, man. You gotta show out, man. This kid's a heavy hitter, man. I don't know if you seen a lot of him, man. Like, when PBC signed him, I know he lost his first fight back, but he's no joke, man. You know, it's his second fight since the tragic death of Maxim Dadashev. Yeah. So it's his second fight back. You know, he might. Who knows his frame of mind? But you would expect him to perform better than what he did in his first fight back.
Yeah, because what has it been? It's been
about a year.
Yeah, it's been a couple fights. Yeah, he had like a couple fights after that thing against Dadashev. So,
yeah.
But he did, you know, have that loss in the last fight in Las Vegas on February 22nd. So he's trying to. Matias is looking to bounce back, but hey, Iceman ready for him though.
Yeah, I definitely am.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one, man.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's a good fight.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yo, when I saw that one on the schedule, I was like, yo, young boys ain't playing, man.
Yeah, man. They are not holding back. Definitely not holding back with this one, man. Yo. I know that brother
Malik will be. Your stablemate, Angelo Leo, last night won his first world title. What were your thoughts on that?
Hey, I thought he did. I thought he looked good. You know, he executed his game plan. You know, he went in there, executed. He came out a world champion. He accomplished. He just made history.
Are you the next from Mayweather Promotions to win a world title?
Yeah, sir.
Because it's looking like Matias is rated by the IBF. So who knows, if you get that dub over there, you know, you might pop up in the rankings.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that right now. You know, I still got a job to do when I get in there. So we worry about that later.
I thought someone was going to ask a question there, but like you said, you out there, you've been in camp for like three days, so it's pretty much like you said, you kind of like preparing already, so I think that you're kind of like at or around the point right now, seeing as it's like another 2 months away. No, for this fight.
Yeah.
So you pretty much is already around that time for like regular camp to start off.
Already in camp, you know, already working. So
how do you stay focused living in a place like Baltimore? Like, I'm from Philly, and I know there's all kinds of distractions. What, you gonna move to Aberdeen or Bel Air?
Nah, I'll probably move to like Orange Mills and everything like that. Baltimore, you know, so especially, you know, because I grew up here, you know, I look at everything like it's just normal. You know, I see, you know, drugs and everything like that. You know, people get killed, hear about people getting killed. I mean, it's just normal to me.
You know, around them areas, man, like you said, it does get real rough. So it's like you gotta be careful pretty much every time, you know, you be out there, you know, because it's almost like you never know what may happen out there. So, you know, as long as you got a good circle around you, you know, you'll be able to be good, you know, going out and about in the city or in the area that you're involved.
You plan on moving out to Vegas, or you gonna stay in Baltimore?
No, I'm gonna stay in Baltimore. I'm gonna just move out to Orange Mills.
Okay, okay. You gonna be able to get your sparring out there? Because a lot of people.
Nah, actually,
out in
from
Vegas,
when I move to Orange Mills, I'm gonna still be training here. I'm still gonna be training at Upton at my regional gym.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's a thing. It'll still be like, you know, not that far off from, you know, where he goes to train. It's just that it might be a little bit more of a distance, so to speak. But,
Yo,
you know,
you'll
still be able to.
Can you ask him some Baltimore questions, JR?
Say that again.
What's that?
I said, can you ask him some Baltimore questions? Because, listen. There's something about Baltimore that bothers me. I need to know because we got a Baltimore person
typical,
on the phone.
Typical New York shit.
Yeah, you let me know.
Come on, everybody.
You already know.
Are we doing this today? Like, are we
listen,
really doing this today?
I just answer one question. What is going on in the DMV area with this whole glizzy thing? What is y'all obsession with these glizzy? Like, what is that?
What you mean? Like, what you
like, what? Yo. Every day I'm hearing someone say, yo, the glizzy. I look it up. It's supposed to be a hot dog? What is that?
Nah, when somebody say a glizzy, they talk about a gun.
Yeah. It's two different. I think it's in Chicago or D.C. A glizzy means a hot dog. Well, where I come from, the glizzy's a Glock.
That's what I was wondering too. I'm like,
yeah, that's DC though.
Okay, okay, so it's not you. I can't blame y'all.
Yeah, that ain't us. I mean, you got some people here that do say it, but man, that's mainly in DC.
Okay, 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 all right. So I was blaming the wrong region. I just figure the DMV, y'all all represent each other. So I figure y'all was all...
No. They ain't how it works, man.
So we're not gonna hear Malik Hawkins calling nobody the Glizzy Gladiator then or nothing like that, right?
Oh no, no.
It ain't happening. Yo, I don't know what that is, man. Going down outside, but
Whoa, somebody getting their car broken into?
Like, I don't know what's up.
That sounds like some Philly shit going on over there. Jamel, you
in the suburbs right now. And you can't stop, bro. You from the Bronx. Stop. Like, come on. Just stop.
Yo, that ain't him, man. That ain't him. But
he said it
yo,
like he's from
just,
City Island. Nah, bro. You ain't from City Island.
I tried to pump things just now.
Oh boy. All right. So brother Malik, man, had like a good amount of time here with you. Know that you probably have to, get back to do your thing. So is there like anything else you want the people to know here before roll out?
I don't watch boxing, none of that. So I wish people stop telling me watch this and watch that. I don't watch boxing because I know about a bunch of fighters and everything like that, but I don't really watch boxing unless I need to watch them on support tomorrow.
There you go. There's a tidbit for folks that didn't know about this.
What's your social media, Malik?
My social media is... add me on Instagram at I Am Freezer Time. And they can add me on Twitter at Malik Hawkins 20.
There you go, man.
Okay,
Malik
okay.
Hawkins 20 on Twitter and I Am Freezer Time on Instagram, man. So there you go. From Baltimore, undefeated. They're at the super lightweight division. 18-0 with 11 knockouts, man. Mr. Malik Iceman and Hawkins, man. Thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, man. Thank y'all.
All right. No doubt.
All right.
So,
Yeah, it is. Lee Hawkins joining in. Very thankful for him to be a part of this particular podcast. We're going to see if we have a part two later today. Thank everyone here for calling in this particular time. We have something else scheduled for 7:30. Featherweight champion of the world, Mr. Gary Russell Jr. So,
the Terrence Crawford beat
the boogeyman.
The boogeyman.
AKA the real one time. The real one time.
Yeah,
Gary, the real one time.
Yo.
I'm stealing that one for later.
So we should have him joining in here for 7:30, man. I'm looking forward to that. Be sure to check back in here with us for that particular podcast. That's going to be a real good one, I know for sure.
One time.
I'm stealing
Let's
that one.
Go.
That was good, Jamel. That was good. I'm stealing that one, bro.
Hey, yo, I'm just letting people know I'm going in today. At 7:30, I'm going in because I don't like how my man is getting all this flat. If you arguing with somebody face to face and you get stole, it is what it is. Like, you're supposed to be
real. Yeah. For real. So, it is.
Listen, this situation reminds me of another situation that occurred in boxing. I'm going to bring it up on the show because I think JR is going to get a kick out of this one.
If it's from a certain situation back in the day, I might be rolling on that one, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Man,
we're going to have the
You just made my day, JR.
We're
going to be changing Terrence Crawford. His name Blood. We're going to call him Terrence Blood Crawford.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, that's what we're going to have. So be sure to check in 7:30, folks, man. Until then, I'll catch y'all later. Boxing Source, we out. For now.
All right.